Curtis for reading that, and Ryan for leading singing today. Hope everyone's doing all right this morning. All right, good to see everybody. Some great singing I heard that. I didn't get to participate, but this morning the kids were together, and there was a back-to-school party, and I heard good things about it. I heard it was well-attended and a lot of fun, so that's really awesome. Down here in the adult class, I think we had even more fun than that, so, you know. Kids, y'all may have had all the donuts, but, you know, we had a good time over here as well. But we're glad you're here, and I'm saying all that to say we start at 10:30 for service, but at 9:30 we have some great classes. We have some great women's class and classes for the kids and class in here, so take advantage of that. All right, set your alarm an hour earlier, get up, and come join us for Bible class. You will be blessed by that, I promise. We're going to be in Judges chapter 6 this morning. We're going to be looking at the story of Gideon. You may not know too much about Gideon. Hopefully you'll know a little bit more today. I encourage you to go back and read, not while I'm preaching. I mean, you can. If you're going to listen to me or read the Bible, read the Bible. But later on, read Gideon chapter 6, Judges chapter 6 and 7 to get the whole story of Gideon, because we're not going to go through all of that today. But we are going to look at a few things out of there. And Gideon, the story of Gideon occurs in the time of the judges. There's no king of Israel yet. There's been no Saul. There's been no David. There's been some prophets. And at this point in time, there's judges that God raises up to help the Israelites in their times when they are falling away from him, and they get taken over by one of their enemies, and God will raise up a judge to help bring them out of that and turn their hearts back to him. And Gideon is one of these stories in there. So we'll pick up in chapter 6, verse 1. It says, again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Again, they did evil. They seem to be doing evil a lot throughout the Old Testament. But they did evil, and for 7 years, God gave them into the hands of the Midianites. This would have been a nation near them that were their enemies. The Midianites were so powerful and they were so oppressive that we find the Israelites are actually going and looking for caves to live in. They're not even living out in the open. They are hiding from the Midianites. Any crops that they grow, the Midianites come in and other peoples as well and take their food from them. The crops that they are planting, the Midianites are coming in and taking them away from them. They're living in fear. They're being bullied, really. But all of it is because they were doing evil in the eyes of the Lord, and they needed to be disciplined to be brought back to him. And so that's where we find ourselves. And so they start to cry out in verse 7. verse 6. It says, the Midianites so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. It got so bad. Finally they come to their senses when it just got so bad for them, and they cried out to the Lord. And verse 7 says, when the Israelites cried to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet. This is not Gideon. He doesn't send them Gideon yet. He sends them a prophet. And what the prophet tells them is, hey, God saved y'all. Y'all cried to God when y'all in Egypt. He brought you out. He performed miracle after miracle. He brought you into this place. He's given you everything that you've needed. He's won your battles for you, and now you're turning away from him, is what the prophet tells them. And he ends by saying, you have not listened to me. Not the prophet. He's speaking for God. You have not listened to God. So when they cry out, the message that is sent to them is, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're in this position because of what you have been doing, and you're not doing what I've told you to do. You have not listened to me, but he's going to save them. Verse 11 says, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abrazite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. So when we encounter Gideon, he is threshing wheat, hiding from the Midianites. We find him working in fear that the Midianites will come and take away what grain he has. Okay, so that's how we encounter Gideon, doing something because he's scared of the enemy that's around them. And the angel of the Lord appeared. Let me see if my clicker is working here. All right. By the way, when I got up here the first time, I was saying our network's not working. Doug back there and Josiah as well worked tirelessly to make things happen. And so a lot of credit goes to Doug back there. He got his back up and running. So thank you very much. And I don't know if I don't have batteries or what, Doug, but maybe I don't know if you can switch the slides for me or not. All right, I'll try this again. If not, I'll just call out to you to do that. Like I said, sometimes when things go wrong, it could be a good thing. So back to verse 12, an angel of the Lord appears to Gideon and says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. When you think of a mighty warrior, do you think of someone hiding from the enemy, threshing grain in a wine press so that he won't be seen? That's how we encounter Gideon. And God says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." He has a different message for him. "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us..." Now, he didn't say the Lord is with all of you, right? The Lord's with you. "If the Lord's with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our father told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." Gideon doesn't get the picture, really, does he? Why? Where's God at? Why are we in this position that we are in? Well, the prophet already told them, "Because you're not listening to God," is what he told him. So there's a scripture in there that God told them. And when if you listen to me in Deuteronomy, in Leviticus 26, everything's going to go well for you. But if you don't listen to me, you'll be taken over by your enemy. And one of the things he says is you will plant crops, but you won't eat them. Your enemies will eat the crops that you plant. Exactly what God told them and warned them about has come to pass. And this is what we find in Judges chapter 6. So when Gideon says, "Why is this happening?" All he has to do is go back and listen to what God has already told them. All right? He's already warned them about this, and they find themselves in this position. "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior," he tells them. And he says, "Well, if he's with us, why is this going on?" He doesn't embrace that. He doesn't think of himself as a mighty warrior. Verse 14, "The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand.'" Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. "Am I not sending you?" This is what Gideon is told. Hiding in the wine press, threshing the grain. The angel of the Lord comes and tells him, "God is with you, mighty warrior. Go in the strength you have and save Israel." Gideon recognized the problem. The Midianites, they're too powerful, right? They're like the sands on the seashore out in our field, taking everything that we have. We're living up in caves. We're hiding from them. This is the problem. Why is it like this? "Go and do something about it," God tells him. "Go in the strength that you have." What strength? What strength does Gideon have? Right, and that's his response. Right, he says, "How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." This reminds me of a story that we encounter in Matthew. well, let's backtrack. I got my slides all mixed up again, y'all. Here we go. "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you?" In the book of Mark, chapter 6, there's a lot of people following Jesus, and they're hungry. And the apostles come to Jesus, and they say, "Jesus, you need to send these people away. They're hungry. They need to go eat." They have compassion. These guys are hungry. They've been out here all day, Jesus. They've traveled from far distances. You know, they need to go eat. Let them go. And Jesus says, "You give them something to eat. You give them something to eat." And the response is, "Yeah, where would we get that? All right, how can we do that? We don't have the money. We don't have the funds. There's no way that we can do that. How are we supposed to do it?" The same as Gideon. How am I supposed to save Israel? I'm the least. We can relate to this, can't we? Oftentimes, we look at a need. We look at something that's out there, and we think, "How can I? How can we? I'm small. I'm little. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. There's no way I can do this." And we'd wish God would just pass by us and go on to someone else who has more talent, has more ability. Let them do it. That's often our thoughts. We think other people should be serving in ministry because we can't do that. I kind of wish I could show you my past, right? And you could see my past and see all the trash on my trail and be like, "Yeah, that person's a horrible human being. He should never be in ministry." I wish I could show you that, right? Maybe one day we'll sit down and I'll tell you a few stories. Because there's no way that God should use someone like me. And I'm not trying to sit here and say I'm anything. Well, I'm trying to say God is great, right? God is great. And I know that if he can take someone like me and say, "Hey, I need you to do something," then he can do that with anybody. And that's what he's done here with the apostles. You feed them. How are we going to feed them? What do you have? Go in the strength that you have and do what I've told you to do. God is telling us that. Go in the strength that you have. And we look around and what we don't look at our strengths. What do we look at?
our weaknesses, our inabilities. That's what we look at. But how did the angel of the Lord, when he first approached Gideon and he called him a mighty warrior, what did he say? He said, "The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. So go in the strength that you have." Well, what do you have? What did Gideon have? The Lord, right? What else did he possibly need? The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Go in the strength you have. I'm the least. My clan is the smallest. I'm the smallest in my family. You know, who am I? You have the Lord. What it doesn't matter. None of the other things matter. Right? What matters is that you trust in God and His power, and that's the strength that you go in. Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? But Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest. I'm the least of my family. How can I? And the emphasis, he turns it back on himself. How can I? Remind you of anyone else in the Bible? Exodus chapter 3. Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I? What did God say? I will be with you. That's all you need. All right, look what we just read back in Judges chapter 6. The Lord answered, I will be with you. Gideon says, who am I? What do I have? I will be with you. Moses, who am I to go to bring the Israelites out of Egypt? I will be with you. That's all you need. If you have God, you have everything you could possibly need to do the task He wants you to do. David understood this point. He told Goliath, you come at me with sword and spear, javelin. You come at me with the strength that you have. And Goliath had some strength, didn't he? 8 foot, 9 foot tall, heavy armor, big sword, weapons, talking a lot of trash. You come at me with your strength, but I come at it against you in the name of the Lord. That's verse 45. Verse 47 says, all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. It's not by David's strength. It's not whatever weapon that he can bring. That's not how God will save. For the battle is the Lord's, and He will give all of you into our hands, he tells the Philistines, including Goliath. David understood the point of relying on God's strength. We see this in 1 Chronicles when they're kind of bringing the ark back into the tabernacle there. David says, praise God, and here's how I want you to do it, you priests. And one of the things he says is, look to the Lord and His strength. Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. Remember the wonders He has done. Think of what all God's already done. When we look at Christianity and its humble beginnings and how it started, and you look around the world at Christianity today and the influence that it has, and I get it, there's been some people that have abused the name of Jesus to try to obtain things in a selfish way, but overall, when you look at what Christians have done in the name of Jesus, they've done some amazing, amazing things. And even though people have gone and railed against Christianity and tried to snuff it out, it's just blossomed in those moments. And the time when the church looked its weakest was when the most people were converted, over and over throughout history. Whose strength does it depend on? It depends on God's strength. It depends on us depending on God's strength. And when we get to that point, when we get to that understanding that it's His strength and not ours, then we are in a good place to do amazing things. Paul understood this concept. And what was just read for us, Curtis read for us in 2 Corinthians, it says, my grace is sufficient for you, Jesus tells Paul. You have a problem, right? You got something you need taken care of. Don't worry about it. I am enough for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. In fact, your limitations is where I'm going to shine the most. What do you got, guys? Oh, we got a couple pieces of fish and a couple pieces of bread. Perfect. I got the rest. What do you got, Gideon? Well, I got this farming tool. Perfect. I don't need anything else. Right? What do you got, David? I got a couple stones. Awesome. Let's go to work. What do you got, West University Church of Christ? What do we got? And really, the answer is like, I got a willing heart. That's the answer. I got a willing heart. Perfect. It's time to go to work. I'll boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. That's what the awesome thing, right? Is because the boasting about my weakness is not necessarily boasting about my weakness. It's boasting about Christ's strength, right? That's where the boast really lies. Like, let me tell you how powerful Jesus is. He can use some doofus like me. That's amazing. That blows my mind, right? That's how powerful our God is.
And so what happens is he tells Gideon, how can I save Israel? The Lord answered, I'll be with you. And that's all you need. So Gideon goes on from there and he gets his army, and God dwindles the army down to 300 men. And these 300 men take out over 100,000. And you can read about it in Gideon chapter 6 and chapter 7. It's an amazing story, right? God, just to show, just to prove to Gideon and the rest of the Israelites who really has the power, he goes to this crazy extreme and winning an amazing battle with just 300 men. Wild. You know, there's another battle that God did that's even more amazing than that. He went with like less than 300 men, and he went up against way more people. He went with about 11 men, and he went up against the entire world. It's a very similar story. Matthew chapter 28. When they saw Jesus, the apostles, after he resurrected, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And look at this. I am with you. It's the Gideon story. It's the same story, right? Where did Gideon, when we encountered Gideon, when the angel of the Lord encountered Gideon, or when Moses in the fiery bush encountered, or excuse me, God in the fiery bush encountered Moses, there was doubt there, wasn't it? Who am I? I can't do this. Look at these apostles. Some of them doubted. It says in verse 17, some of them doubted. But what do you need? What do you need? I'm with you. It's the same story. And these men trusted Jesus enough to go out in their weakness, but in Christ's strength to do amazing things, right? That's the realization that we have to come to, church. We may look at our weaknesses, and instead of looking at our weaknesses and letting that bring us down or think we can't accomplish much, let's look at those and be like, this is going to be so awesome when God does this, right? Let's brag about those weaknesses, because we're really bragging about the power of Christ. Trust in His strength and not ours. It's raining out there. For a minute, I thought Clint was over there crinkling a bag of peanuts or something, but I was like, oh, it's rain. I didn't know what was going on. That's one way to stay awake. I got one more verse for you, hopefully just to leave you with a bit of encouragement. It's Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28. I don't have it all on the PowerPoint, 28 and following. So if you want to turn to Isaiah 40, starting in verse 28 through the rest of the chapter, and I'm going to read this. It says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, everlasting, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. In His understanding, no one can fathom. No one can fathom. We look back at all the amazing things that God has used His people to do. No one would have come up with that, right? He had everybody fooled. He had a plan that no one could even understand. Verse 29, He gives strength to the weary. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. This is what God has been doing with His people from the beginning. And this is what He still continues to do. Gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Church, we want to serve Jesus Christ. We want to serve Him. What do you need to serve Him? You just need Him. So my question is, do you have Him? Do you have Jesus Christ? If you have Jesus Christ, you're ready. You're ready, right? You may not know how. You may not know what it's going to look like. You may be afraid. You may have some doubt. But all He needs you to do is start to step. Start walking, right? And He's going to open up doors, and He's going to make amazing things happen, and He's going to blow your mind, and you're just going to say, how could I have ever doubted? God had me this entire time. Story after story in the Bible, beyond the Bible, in the history of our faith, amazing things that God has done with His people when they just have enough faith to trust Him,
right? And to do the simple things he said to do. And I don't mean simple in the fact that they're easy, right? I mean simple in the fact that he tells us plainly what we should be doing. Go into all the world. Make disciples of all nations. Teach them to obey. Baptize them, right? These are the things that we should be doing. If you want to trust in God more, right? If you want to give your life to him, if you would say, yeah, I'm missing Jesus. I need him. You can have that opportunity now, right? We have water here. We can baptize you. If you want to join in with this church, if you want to place membership here, we'd love to for you to be a part of what we're trying to do at this congregation, right? If you need the prayers of this congregation, myself, the elders here, we'd love to pray with you, encourage you. If there's anything that we can do, this church can do for you, please come now as we stand and sing.
I need thee every hour.